to the budget presentation. Chris, I believe that you and some of the other directors are going to get up and tell us all about the proposed 22 budget. This all fiscal year 20, July 1 through, we don't do calendar years, but.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. This will be the fiscal year 2023 budget. So what we're working through here with all of you today will be the budget basically next July 1st, go through June 30th, 2023. Mr. Chairman, so, we're going to start our commission meeting today with a process we don't do every month. It's a little unusual, but absolutely good timing. So as Secretary Roebling went through some of the special appropriations bills that your GFP team will be supporting and leading the charge on during the legislative session. We're going to take some time with all of you today to talk about the overall department budget, all the budget adjustments for all of the programs that make up our department. One comment that I would make for the listening public regarding those special appropriations bills, all three of those were addressed when Governor Noem did her budget address earlier in December. And with that, her Bureau of Finance and Management website has some additional one-page information on each one of those appropriations bills. So Custer State Park, the flood repairs, and the shooting range bill, there's some good information on the state government webpage right next to the budget address as well. Good information out there for everyone. Mr. Chairman, what we're going to do today is talk about the department budget. I'll lead things off here, talk about the overall budget, and we'll have Director Simpson and Kirschman both come up at different times to kind of walk through some of the components for the Division of Wildlife and Parks and Recreation Division as well. Mr. Chairman, the first piece maybe to go through as we begin our budget discussion today is the why. Why does GFP do what we do? What is our philosophy behind spending the dollars that the citizens of South Dakota entrust with us? Of course, at the biggest level, the broadest view you can take at things, the why of Game Fish and Parks is our mission statement. Serve and connect people and families to the outdoors through effective management of our state parks, fisheries, and wildlife resources. Mr. Chairman, what we're going to go through today with our PowerPoint presentation, good for the public to hear in this setting, and then a lot of this information we're going to also present in front of some of the legislative committees as that session starts next week as well. The House Ag and Natural Resource Committee, the Senate Ag and Natural Resource Committee, as well as the Joint Committee on Appropriations. So a lot of this information will be in front of the public and the legislators several times over the next month. First slide, again, with the mission and vision statement, and then really some of the four pillars that guide our agency with our initiatives. Between habitat and access, asset management, customer service, and operational excellence. The budget for Game Fish and Parks is unique within the structure of state government, such that we've got division or program budgets like any state government agency would, but within the six main budget units that we have, it's a hybrid structure where three of those budget units are authorized to be in control of all of you, the Game Fish and Parks Commission. That includes the operations budget for wildlife, the capital development improvement, that's the project budget for the wildlife division, and the Snowmobile Trails Program budget as well. The other three division budgets for administration, the operation of the State Parks and Recreation Division, and the capital development budget, the project budget for parks and recreation, those three budgets are under the authority to be appropriated through the legislative process. So it's a component where three budgets within the six are informational for all of you. Vice versa, three of the budgets are informational for the legislature. So there are a few other agencies in state government that have a few informational budgets, but probably not to the scale operationally as Game Fish and Parks does. So a very unique piece. But as we go through today, we're going to treat everything the same and go through all of the budgets for each and every one of those divisions and programs. Mr. Chairman, on the screen now, we're not going to get into all the numbers, but really want to just give a sense of what the overall budget for an agency the size of Game Fish and Parks looks like within inside state government. The budget for Game Fish and Parks, as proposed to start next fiscal year, 2023, will be just over $121 million. Indeed, that would be the largest budget proposal in the history of the department, with many activities going on, with many of which we'll cover through today. The next slide that we have is a breakdown of how you get to $121 plus million, and then the staffing level for the department is 583 FTE being basically full-time equivalent employees. That's about 2,088 hours per full-time staffer. Our Department of Game Fish and Parks in a regular year will have 450 plus or minus of full-time employees, and when we're active during our summer season, we'll absolutely have over 1,000 employees on the payroll of Game Fish and Parks. So a fairly good-sized agency when we're in the highly active summer season, for sure. The budget for Game Fish and Parks, if we take the whole agency perspective, of that $121 million, $59 million is for the Division of Wildlife, the operations of the division. Another $4.8 million is for capital projects for the Wildlife Division. $29.5 million is budgeted for the daily operations of the state park system throughout the state of South Dakota. The project budget, capital development for the Parks Division, is going to be $21.6 million requested for fiscal year 2023. Our administrative division is $5 million, and snowmobile trails operations, that's both eastern South Dakota and western South Dakota in total, $1.4 million. Mr. Chairman, the next piece we're going to do is we're going to take basically those six main budget units and break one of them, each of them out separately for all of you. First, starting with the Division of Administration. So this is the budget function that includes the Central Finance Office team that works for myself as the finance officer for Game Fish and Parks, our engineering team that help us design and contract for all of those capital development projects that we're doing, construction projects throughout the agency. The administrative division includes the cost of legal counsel, Secretary Roebling, his support staff, the cost it takes to have a GFP commission meet every month and pay for expenses as we're doing here today. So all of those costs are rolled into the Division of Administrative Budget, along with our Division of Communications, Marketing, and Outreach, which is one of the budget adjustment areas we'll be talking to hear about just shortly. Within the administrative budget, just a few minor budget adjustments. The Division of Administration has some general funds to the tune of about $800,000 so that are appropriated each year as bond payments. Every so often, the Game Fish and Parks Department will bond. It's almost like taking out a loan. They'll issue revenue dollars to upfront dollars for a large-scale construction project. The state general fund becomes kind of the collateral behind a bond payment. The financial sustainability of the state general fund is one of the few states in the state of South Dakota that has a triple A bond rating. It means that if we issue revenue bonds through Game Fish and Parks and use the state to be behind and support those dollars, we get a really good bond rate. It basically helps you keep your mortgage payment down if you look at it in terms of like a home mortgage kind of thing. But the bond payments for GFP for inside the Division of Administration is only decreasing by $507, so a very minor adjustment in that $5 million budget. And then, Mr. Chairman, we're also moving some dollars between divisions. We call them kind of internal budget adjustments. We're continuing to find ways to repurpose and find staff that have capacity to do more things within our agency. And we've had a lot of focus in the last couple of years on doing marketing and outreach and tagging on top of our new Go Outdoors system that went live here recently. So we're moving some budget authority, and just 0.7 of an FTE is moving from our other divisions into our administrative division, because the admin budget is where the a communications and marketing and outreach team resides within the infrastructure as well. So that covers, Mr. Chairman, the division administration budget numbers. Here's a little breakout of the staffing we have. Our engineering team is about 7.5 FTE. The secretary's office with support staff and legal counsel is about 7.6 FTE. Central finance office is 6 FTE. And what we've just been talking about here, the communication marketing outreach division has 8.2 FTE. So we're about a little over 29 FTE within the division of administration. Next, Mr. Chairman, we're going to talk budget adjustments within the wildlife division. And then we're going to have Director Pershman kind of step up and walk you through some of the budget drivers within the division, things like hunting, fishing, license sales, things like that as well, some staffing information for all of you. First and foremost, we've got the operations budget for the Division of Wildlife. So this would be one of those informational budgets for the legislature. The budget authority for this division resides with all of you. Historically, the budget has been at or just below $50 to $60 million annually. This year, the operations budget, we're actually moving some budget down to do more projects. So we're moving a little bit out of operations into the capital project budget. We'll be talking about some major projects here in just a minute. But the overall Division of Wildlife operations budget will include just over $59 million, $59,128,956 for the fiscal year 2023 coming up. That includes 296 FTE. Mr. Chairman, what you'll see across all of game fishing parks for this year, as the budget continues to grow and revenue dollars available continue to increase to match the budget growth, you will see for this year there are no increases requested for staffing levels. So it's going to be a big challenge for the agency for sure, but we're up for it.
What percentage of our overall budget is general fund dollars?
Mr. Chairman, less than 4.
Yep. Any other
Mr. Chairman, there are a few other agencies that border between that 4 to 8 to 10%. Another one would be Department of Agriculture has few general funds within their components. Department of Transportation that operates high level on like highway motor vehicle funds. But it's far and few between. Game Fish and Parks as an agency is one of those agencies way at the bottom of the list when you would think about the use of general fund dollars. Mr. Chairman, just a couple of the kind of budget adjustments within the Wildlife Operations Division. Like we talked about already, we're moving about $43,000 of budget authority just into the admin division. That correlates with half an FTE, and that's really repurposing some staff time, some staff hours that'll go within that admin budget for the marketing and outreach efforts. In addition to that, we've got kind of two items that we're working on there. One is moving some budget out of the regular operations budget into capital projects. One of the major drivers we'll be talking about here for revenue sources for the Wildlife Division is the new, starting last fiscal year, the Habitat Stamp Certification Fund. That new fee, $10 on licenses for residents, $25 on licenses for non-residents, generates additional revenue into the Wildlife Division to the tune of about $5.5 million annually. So we've got some budget authority in the Wildlife Operations budget earmarked to do those things, but we're finding that more and more of the projects we do require a little bit longer term to do those. Our capital development budget for wildlife actually gets 2 years to spend dollars appropriated there, so we're moving some dollars down with some of those longer term projects. Mr. Chairman, that capital project budget that I was just referencing here a second ago has historically been $2 to $2.5 million over the last couple of fiscal years, respectively. And recognizing that, especially on the aquatic habitat side, some of those projects we do there are taking longer times for engineer design, development, and final construction. Implementation, we're moving additional budget into that capital development side of the budget for the Wildlife Division. So really what we've got for capital development. That $4 million includes about $2 million additional, $1,983,500 to be exact, for additional aquatic habitat projects we're going to be doing out of this budget. Hunter and angler access projects, we've got about nine of those planned for fiscal year 2023 to the tune of about $504,000. Facility and structure renovations, one of the major pillars of what we're doing with Inside Game Fishing Parks, of course, is taking care of what we have, our own infrastructure in building structures, facilities, lands, first and foremost before going out too far with any new development. So facilities and structure renovations at our fish hatcheries to the tune of about $420,000, buildings and grounds maintenance at our regional district offices for about $554,000, and then maintaining some of our access areas to restroom aquatic to the tune of about $30,000. And then we've got some significant shooting range projects that are coming as well. Secretary Roebling already mentioned the biggest shooting range project on our list out in the Rapid City area. To the tune of $10 to $12 million for that major project. We've also got some enhancements coming, taking care of some of the shooting ranges we already have, about $288,000 budgeted for that, and development across a few specific areas in the state, another $1 million earmarked for there. So that basically equates to that $4 million new budget for fiscal year 2023 on the capital project side for the wildlife. Mr. Chairman, with that, I have Director Kirschman come up, and we've got a few slides that's going to talk about the dollars that really support all of the work that we do on the wildlife side. If we had a budget and revenues wouldn't support it, we wouldn't be asking for the budget. So this is the side of the general ledger that supports all the activities.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director. As Director Peterson just said, that we're going to go over a few other slides here that gives you an idea of where some of that revenue is coming in from, and then what some of those projects and programs that will use those funds over the next year for fiscal 23. So the pie chart up there in front of you right now really is a signification of where those revenues come from the various revenue means. And as you can see by the pie chart there, the blue colors are the highest proportion of where those funds come from. You look at the resident hunting licenses, about 15% of all of our revenue. Resident fishing licenses, 6% there. Non-resident hunting licenses, 31%. And those non-resident fishing licenses, 7%. So just looking at hunting alone, approximately 46% or almost half of the overall revenue that comes in from the Division of Wildlife is from hunting licenses, and about 13% is from those fishing licenses. So the remainder of where that revenue comes from, and the biggest piece of that pie left up there, is those federal funds, those Pittman-Robertson, Dingell-Johnson funds that we receive on an annual basis through the necessary paperwork working with the Fish and Wildlife Service. Again, these are dollars that are generated from excise taxes on guns and ammunition, in particular on the PR side, on the BJ side, that fishing equipment type related items. When you look at that, about 31% of our overall revenue comes in from federal aid to the tune of about $18 million. And of that, approximately 13 to 13.5 would be the Pittman-Robertson, and approximately that's 4 to 4.5, depends on a given year. And what those final numbers will look like will be the BJ side of things, or the aquatic or fishery side. Then we also have some miscellaneous support that comes in from federal side there. But as you can see, the bottom line is the majority of that revenue coming in is from our users, right? Our hunters, our anglers, the people out going in the outdoors, and then those federal aid funds coming from PR and BJ sources. So next slide here is a breakdown of those budgeted items with all the programs and projects that we do. And we're looking at the FTE, or those full-time equivalents, for the various activities found within the Wildlife Division. And you can see there's some main pillars in there, a lot of efforts that we do. The big one there, you can see the terrestrial habitat and access, about 48 FTEs going towards those efforts. The fisheries and aquatic habitat management has another 43, a little over 43 FTEs. Conservation officers are a big part of the Division of Wildlife. And again, the conservation officers, as you recall, is that combination of what was historically our conservation officers and our park rangers are all under one LE section right now. They are all conservation officers. So that's at the tone of about 73 FTEs within the Wildlife Division. We have a lot of folks working on the wildlife damage management that are just about 33 FTEs, working with those producers, dealing with depredation issues, coyote control, EDC work. We have wildlife management that includes our survey work and other activities like that. The Wildlife Administration licensing, obviously, from the director's office, some of my staff, obviously, the licensing folks, and working with providing those opportunities to our sportsmen and women out there. Our Wildlife Regional Administration, volunteer support, and then you can see the outdoor campus and education. So that pie chart gives you a good signification of where all of our FTE are, again, at about 296 total FTE for the Wildlife Division for 2023. Next slide. Looking at it from a operational and capital development standpoint, as Chris mentioned just a few moments ago, it's only about $63 million. You can see where the majority of our efforts are going. We've talked numerous times about habitat and access is one of our top priorities of the agency, and I would offer to you the top priority of the Wildlife Division. And at that, at about $22 million, or about 33%, going towards those efforts. Public service is a big one there also at about $19 million or 29%. That includes our conservation officers, our education staff, outreach, those types of efforts. So that's certainly a big one there. Fisheries management, wildlife management are very similar at about 17% apiece or about $11 million. And then the capital development portion of it, some of those projects that Director Peterson just mentioned a few moments ago, is a very small part of that. I'm going to share just a few slides here with you quickly to show you some five-year trends on some of the key license sales and licenses within the revenue part of the Division of Wildlife. You can see right here the resident small game licenses for 2021. We're very similar to last year, maybe just down just a hair. But again, if you look at the last 5 years, we'd say that those numbers are good and very strong. And they're holding their own, and we hope to continue that trend and not, and hopefully go into an increasing trend looking into the future. But all in all, it was still a good year from a resident small game licenses. Resident fishing licenses, looking at, again, the five-year window here, they were certainly down from 2020. 2020, we certainly saw an influx of people with COVID finding ways and looking for reasons to go outside, and fishing was certainly one of those. I wish I could give you a better explanation as to why we saw that dip, but what I can tell you is that we continue to work with those anglers. We're outreach through our communications and marketing staff in the division. They're working with those folks that did not return and continue to reach out to them and talk about the opportunities that we have for fishing in South Dakota and try to get them back into angling and getting their fishing license as well. Non-resident small game licenses, we saw and had a really good year. Look at this five-year trend here. Overall trend is going up, but certainly when you compare 2021 to last year, 2020, we saw a really nice bump. Regular non-resident small game license last year, we sold about 64,000. This year is right at 72,000. So an 8,000 jump there, so that was a really nice bump to see. And then we also saw, because this does include shooting preserve licenses for non-residents, we saw a pretty significant jump, close to about a 30% jump on those preserve licenses as well. So all in all, a very strong year for non-resident small game licenses. And non-resident fishing licenses held that same trend this year, significantly higher than 20. Some of that may have been due to some travel restrictions for people last year. I would equate it to even more this year of the phenomenal fishing opportunities that we had in South Dakota, whether we talked about Lake Oahe or just the Missouri River itself, and then certainly other fishing opportunities that we saw in the Northeast and even parts of western South Dakota. We had phenomenal fishing opportunities, and people took advantage of them coming to South Dakota and seeing that wonderful influx there of non-resident fishing license sales. So those graphs give you a good idea of where some of those revenues came from. This next slide here, we want to talk a little bit about the habitat stamp itself. Director Peterson mentioned how the habitat stamp, as implemented just over a year ago now, generates that total of about 5.4 to 5.6 million this year again, right at that same mark. $10 for a resident, $25 for non-residents. Depending on the license types that are all purchased, those license or those dollars, habitat stamp funds would be divided between terrestrial products, aquatic projects, and then combinations thereof, and distributed to those various types of projects. Earlier this fall, Director Peterson and I gave a update and a summary to the GOAC committee of the legislature, and this is some of the same information that we shared. What I have up in front of you right now is actually a fiscal year 21 ending a project. So even since July 1 of this summer, we've completed more projects. We've had more expenditures, probably close to the tone of about $1 million since then of more projects completed. But the projects we have up here were at the end of June. So you can see the top part are terrestrial projects, and those are focused on game production areas of some of those new grasslands and pollinator plantings on 30 game production areas located across the state, some new food plots, woody habitat plantings. Those are the types of projects that our hunters want to see in our properties when they're out there hunting, and we're really focusing our efforts on those types of projects. Controlling invasive woody management on some of the cedar bluffs in some certain areas. Grassland management is grazing management. We did some projects on 11 game production areas. And obviously, we're working on access roads and trails, providing better access on our game production areas to our users. And on the bottom side are some key aquatic habitat stamp projects. The big one there, you can see the picture on the right, bottom right-hand corner, was the new boat ramp developed on Cottington County at Long Lake. And again, when Chris talked about getting projects done, this is one of those examples of aquatic one that takes time. There's engineering work, there's survey work, there's getting contractors in place, and these are pretty significant projects. And so to have that ability under capital development is one of the reasons why we're making those movements. We've done some dam repairs and some other small projects. This is a quick map to show you of projects that were completed, habitat stamp projects, both terrestrial-based and aquatic-based projects, through the end of June. And so you can see they're scattered throughout the state. They're a little bit more on the eastern side of the state versus the western because of the terrestrial ones are completed on game production areas. And by default, we just have more game production areas located in eastern South Dakota than western South Dakota. But you can see we have a nice distribution of projects across the entire state. And looking forward with habitat stamp projects, our staff are putting plans together for not only projects they're completing right now, but plans for projects that will occur this coming spring and summer, both on game production areas and access developments. We are working on enrolling more of the private land in the James River Crest as we speak. We continue to get more enrollments in there to try to hit the cap of 100,000 acres. And we're working with USDA to finalize the Big Sioux River CREP proposal. We anticipate that will be completed by summer and hopefully start enrolling landowners in a Big Sioux River CREP at the tone of trying to reach a minimum of 25,000 acres starting this coming fall. On the aquatic side, we got a lot of fishing docks and piers and boat ramp projects that are being developed and actually starting right now across the state. Some different fish habitat, as you can see one of the photos there. We have a lot of dam repair projects to take place. And as I mentioned, we're putting together a 3 to 5 year plan to lay out those various projects that we will be using these habitat stamp dollars on over the next 3 to 5 years. But one last thing that I would mention about the habitat stamp, we keep getting asked questions by our users, our hunters, anglers, where's the money going? What type of projects are you doing? We have set up on our website an actual where the money goes. And what's the money doing and showing and telling the story of various aquatic and terrestrial projects, showing before and after type photos so that people can see the types of projects. And then our GIS staff also developed a dashboard. So it's a running tally of the various types of projects, grassland, woody habitat. They can click on each individual marker on the map and go right to the GPA and see what was done, how big a project, what kind of grassland planning. So our users can see where the money is going and where it's being spent, what type of projects are taking place out there. For that, I'd sure answer any questions, or we can wait till the end and answer any questions if you'd like to.
Do we have any questions for Tom? Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we're going to move on and roll into what becomes some of the informational part for all of you. It's parts of the budget that are authorized through the legislative process. We're going to start with the Parks and Recreation Division. Back to our white spreadsheet, the operations division for the Parks and Recreation budget unit, $29.5 million for operations. Current year budget is at $28.5 million, and we are growing that budget by another $981,000. Again, what we see here, as we're going to display coming up, is more activity, more outdoor recreating in and around our state parks and recreation areas, just as increasing the need for additional costs, whether it's garbage, water, sewer, electricity, any of those types of things, including staffing. We've got $205,000 of increased budget authority just to basically utilize more seasonal help and those types of things we're seeing a need for across the full state park system. We've covered the major budget adjustments for the operations division. As we did in wildlife, we roll into the project budget, capital development budget for the parks division. Significant changes to the state park capital development budget as more dollars become available and more revenues exist within the state parks and recreation revolving fund, continuing to invest those dollars as would be appropriate through following our strategic plan. The state parks project budget, about $10.5 million 2 years ago, about $11.9 million last year in expenses, a current year budget of $13.3 million, and then a requested increase of an additional $8.3 million on top of the 13 is going to bring us to a new capital project budget for the Parks Division of just over $21.6 million. A lot of projects going through the capital development budgets, reinvesting those dollars, taking care of what we have within the division with our assets and our infrastructure. We break that capital development budget basically into three major functions within those projects. One is preventative maintenance. About 88% of this $21 million budget is going to go towards basically maintaining what we have. It's going to include $6.9 million of road projects, including $2.8 million of new budget and funding through the South Dakota Department of Transportation. The Highway Commission authorized for about 5 years from here forward $2.8 million of road funding that will help road maintenance, connecting roads, that main highway system, those main roads, that's going to connecting or doing maintenance repair on those roads that connect to our state parks and recreation areas. So a nice new funding source for the agency. And we've got some, another good example is electrical pedestal upgrades coming in at Lewiston Park for $640,000. New development, and including another phase of work we're doing at Palisades to the tune of $1.6 million. The new development budget activity is $2.4 million. And then access in and around the water features in the state of South Dakota, those water-based activities budget of about $2.2 million. So that kind of covers $21.6 million on projects planned starting in fiscal year 2023. Mr. Chairman, this would be one of those budget areas where just because of the complexity of doing such projects in the time frame and the short construction season inside the state of South Dakota, these budgets are authorized for 2 years to spend those funds. Mr. Chairman, with that, we're going to roll into a couple more pie charts here before we start our public hearing and cover some stuff for the Parks Division.
This is 7 minutes.
Secretary Roebling. Yeah, I just want to talk real quick about some of the park and recreation revenues and expenditures that we've got going on. As you can see with the pie chart that's up there right now, $21.6 million the dollars that we project every year come in from camping and park entrance licenses. The vast majority, or the by far the biggest chunk of that pie, and that's user-based folks paying for a majority of what we've got going on in our budgets. Getting into some of the other ones, the second largest chunk of our funding sources is federal funds. We do receive some funds for from the Recreational Trail Program, Land Water Conservation Fund, Coast Guard, and some other smaller revenue sources, but they do make up about 18% of our budget. We, as Chris mentioned before, $2.8 million coming from DOT. That's a godsend for us coming over the next 5 years. To the tune of about $14 million, as long as those funds remain available through DOT. We have been at about $500,000 a year, so that's an additional $2.3 million every year that we get to put towards some of those collector roads that connect main arteries to our park and recreation areas. We do receive about $1.9 million worth of motor boat fuel funds. There's a formula out there with the number of registered boats in the state each year that comes back to the department. For every boat registration, there's a formula that assesses a portion of the gas tax to boats, and it finds its way to the department for about $2 million. We do see, obviously we have concessions. Our largest one is obviously out in Custer State Park, but we've also got them at Lewis and Clark and Dock 44, Mobridge, Chamberlain, various places around the state. That does generate about $3.3 million. Majority of that money goes back into the park for the use of other areas for maintaining those facilities. The last thing that I would say is, if you look at the one of the smallest portions that we've got, was discussed earlier, $3 million worth of general fund in a budget of $46.7 million. We do use those general funds. They are a very valuable source for us to pay our seasonal help each year. But as a percentage, they are a smaller percentage of our overall revenue stream for the division. FTE, we're split pretty close to even. When you talk about full-time folks, when we talk full-time positions, whether it be our planning crew or park staff, park managers, regional supervisors, district supervisors, conservation techs, we've got about 135 full-time employees, 140 full-time employees, but we've also got 112 FTEs that we put out there and divvy them up into that seasonal portion of things. You can take one FTE and kind of divide that into four people for our summer. We put them on for about 3 months, so we're looking at adding about 400 to 500 people each summer to help us through our park season. Another huge part of what we do is our volunteer staff. You can see that the number of volunteer hours that we get is well over 100,000 every year, and that equates to about 53 full-time equivalent employees. It's one of the things that makes our park system go the way it does, and keeps us going every year. Capital development, that's kind of the shocker, right? I know when Petey talks about it, and it increases to, that $21 million. That's a big jump for us. But what it is some really good years that are allowing us to put some money back into some park facilities that I don't want to say were neglected, but we definitely had things that were put off for years and years and years. And we, band-aided it together. And now we have a chance to go back there and fix them the way that they need to be fixed. That's about $17 million of our capital development budget. We've got a very small fraction that is new development. 1.6 of that is a planned project, an ongoing project at Palisades. So a very small portion of anything that we're going to do is going to be new development. We're taking care of what we've got first. Park operations, obviously, it takes a lot of people to handle a lot of people. And when we look at over 8 million visitations a year, we talk about being spread across the state, and the facilities that we operate, It takes some money and some people to do that. So 56% of our budget, obviously, goes to park operations. Just some quick numbers. As I just mentioned, park visitations this last year, over $8.5 million. That's up significantly over what we saw the first three out of the 5 years. We're not sure where it stops. If it just keeps going, or if we find some leveling off, or we start to recede. But we feel like we're providing a great product for our folks, and we hope that number stays up there around that $8.5 million visitations each year. Camping has been a brake pedal and gas pedal for us. When I started this position in 2019, we're in the middle of the flood. Camping units were down to about 300,000. We weren't sure how we were going to keep things moving forward. PD and I had some pretty dire conversations back in the day, June of 2019, June 2020. Things turned around significantly, whether it be the pandemic or whatever forces are out there. It did push people to the outdoors, and they have found camping again. And we have been on the gas pedal from 20 to 21, seeing 394,000 camping units this last year. That provides revenue. Visitations provide revenue. It takes a year for us to catch up. That's why you're seeing us plan for this in 2023, is expending those dollars that when we put the brakes on in 2019, didn't know what was going on in 2020. All of a sudden, we get two great years. Now we've got some revenue that needs to be spent in 2023.
Thanks, Scott. Mr. Chairman, just about two more slides to go through here, three more slides to wrap up our budget presentation. The last program, back to one of those programs, is informational for the legislature, back with budget authority that resides with the Game Fish and Parks Commission. It's our Snowmobile Trails program. This is both the East River, West River programs. Historically, as is now, no growth to this budget. We have about 9.1 FTE worth of staff that are budgeted to spend some time grooming those trails and working within the Snowmobile program. $1.4 million budget. These dollars that come in, it's a self-sustaining program, comes in from boat registration, snowmobile registration, excise tax on when individuals purchase snowmobiles, and then there's some motor fuel funds that flow here as well. So with those revenue sources, it's a pretty sustainable program within the Game Fish and Parks Department. Mr. Chairman, our last slide of the day, Secretary Roebling was able to cover those three special appropriation bills that we'll be leading the charge on. Those bills, when they come forward, if we're successful for Custer State Park expansion, for the shooting range near Rapid City, and the flood repairs at Lake Alvin and New Lake, each of those bills will be special, have their own votes, their own deliberations with the legislature. They'll go through a House and a Senate vote, and they'll be voted on outside of the budget package that we all went through with you here today. So we've got the $121 million proposed GFP budget. We've got those three special appropriations bills. Then we got three other pieces that the department is working on for funding. Director Simpson and I had already talked about the $2.8 million that's available annually now through highway funds. The fiscal year 2023 budget has that built into the base. Those dollars are actually available now, so we're going back to the legislature asking them to give us budget in the current year right now, because when the construction season hits here, those dollars are available to us, so we can spend some of those dollars, get a jump start on them right now. So it's just a catch up right there. Two other components that are moving forward in the governor's budget proposal earlier in the month. Governor Noem talked about $60 million of federal dollars coming from the American Rescue Plan Act that is earmarked, dedicated, restricted for water quality and sewer system infrastructure projects. There's $60 million across the state government agencies for facilities and infrastructure within state government. Within that package, the Game Fish and Parks Department has identified a few dozen projects that are eligible to be used for these restricted sole purpose funds, and we're going to take advantage of those. Even if we had some water projects that were maybe planned out in our 5-year plan to be done a couple years from now, if we have eligible federal funds that are only eligible for this purpose. And those funds are going to expire here within just a few years. We're raising those projects up, and we're going to attempt to accomplish $17 million worth of water and sewer infrastructure upgrades. And that's in addition to that, that $21 million that Director Simpson was talking about in the capital development budget. So a lot of projects, a lot of things moving, resources, and construction season is going to be the focus of our agency over the next year or two as we go. And then lastly, some more of those American Recovery Plan Act funds that are dedicated towards tourism and basically economic influx of dollars or basically economic enhancements specifically for the Department of Tourism or tourism initiatives in our division, working with Emily and her team for additional marketing to fishing and pet hunting and outdoor recreating in South Dakota. So there's going to be some collaborative efforts going on using some of those dollars as well. So as we mentioned, Mr. Chairman, this is a big budget package, one like we've never seen before in our department. We're going to have to keep our nose to the ground and keep at it for the next 1 to 2 years here to really make this work, but I think we're up for the challenge.
Nice work, Chris. Does anybody have any questions for Chris on the proposed 23 budget? Commissioner Bristol.
Thank you. Thank you for the slide presentation, Chris. We had talked about this earlier, but maybe just for folks listening, whenever we talk about one-time funds, there's the concern over sustainability. And it sounds like you and your team have put into place a way to make this sustainable if those one-time funds are approved. Can you just talk about that?
Yes, sure can, Commissioner. The state of South Dakota, as the governor outlined in her budget speech, is in a very good place economically and with their budget structure because of some of the influx of the federal dollars and basically just people finding their love of the outdoors again during this pandemic. The department, as we've seen with some of our bar charts and our slides, the department has more dollars and there's one time of dollars available to do things. The strategy, and it's a good strategy, is to not create expenditure burdens for ongoing future years as you invest those dollars. And if you have one-time money, invest them in one-time projects, as we're doing here. A good example, or probably our best example, is investing in the Custer State Park expansion project. As you use the one-time money, take advantage of them to build and construct, that's going to create revenue enhancements, revenue that you can generate through the additional campsite. And those campsite dollars will then be sustainable in the future to help maintain the infrastructure of the new development. So it's the strategy that we look through throughout our Game Fish and Parks department all the time. That's why you see such heavy investment in projects and infrastructure in our agency.
Great question. Any other questions?
Chris, remind me, when do you guys start your budget process? I mean, it seems like this is a lot of work. It doesn't just start this morning. Obviously, we've been getting updates, seems like, since July. But, I mean, when do you really get to the prioritization and go through that, if you could just help me with that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and it's been a challenge over the last 24 months, like Director Simpson said. It's foot on the brakes, foot on the gas. And that's kind of what we've been doing a lot here recently. But as we talked about with our project budgets, those things are planned in on like 5-year plans, right? So we're always adding projects. Anytime we do, you know, if we do new development in Custer State Park, all of that infrastructure in Custer State Park will be added to our kind of our list of assets to manage, and replacements for things like water, sewer, electrical, pedestals will be in there. Those things get planned in 5 years out. The regular budget process, we end our fiscal year June 30th, and basically we might take just a few days off for the 4th of July holiday, and as soon as we're back from the 4th of July holiday, we are literally starting to plan with kind of from the ground up, getting information from our district and our regional managers out there, our field staff, and they bring their asks and requests to us starting in July, and that rolls into internal deliberations between Secretary Roebling and his leadership team into July and August. We submit the budget over to the governor's office and her budget team at the end of August each year. And then we roll into kind of budget deliberations between ourselves, the Legislative Research Council staff in September, October, culminates with the governor's budget speech, as we saw here in early December. And then next thing you know, it's the holidays, and then we deliberate during the legislative session.
I think there might be more questions, but we're close enough now. We've kind of ran past our 2 o'clock time slot where we usually try to have our open forum and our public hearing. And I know there's some folks waiting online, Chris, so yours is an important deal, and I don't want to shorten any question opportunities, but I also want to be respectful for the people that are waiting online or is potentially here in person to testify on any of the finalizations or any general things in the open forum. So
we're here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.